Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
We'll read verse 1, verse 8, and verse 9. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, verse 8 says, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 9, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject gratitude to greater. Gratitude to greater. Turn to your neighbor and tell him greater is in your gratitude. You may be seated. I've preached for a few sessions this year on the word greater, and I believe God gave us that word for the church moving into 2017, and I believe it has been a year of greater. It's been a year of growth. It's been a year of tremendous outpouring in these altar services. It's been a year of greater in relationships and God restoring and God doing what only he can do. Even when it comes to money, I mean, just the last 3 or 4 months, God has just done tremendous things in the lives of people right here sitting scattered all over this building. And we thank God for those things. But gratitude is a funny thing because gratitude is often defined as a thank you. And a lot of times we thank people when we see the things that they do. But a lot of times, let's look back at the generation that follows me in my generation, a lot of times young people were not taught gratitude. How many of you remember what it was like to teach your kids or be taught gratitude? When somebody would do something for you and you just took it out of their hands and your parents would look at you and say, thank you. And then you'd look up and you'd say a quick thank you and you'd move on. That is them teaching gratitude. I'm glad that I grew up in a house that taught me gratitude, that taught me the power of two words, thank you, meaning I recognize what you've done. I recognize you didn't have to do what you did, so I thank you that you had the power to do it, you had the ability to do it, but you also had the motivation to carry it out, the want to do it. And so from the onset of this message, I just want you to understand that we ought to thank God every day. We ought to thank God for the breath in our lungs. We ought to thank God that he woke us up this morning, that we're not laid up in a hospital bed somewhere. We ought to thank God that we're not serving time, because some of us should be serving time, but we're free. We ought to thank God that we're not messed up in our mind like we used to be. We ought to thank God that we didn't wake up hungover. We ought to thank God that we didn't run around last night looking for a $20 fix. We ought to thank God that our marriage is stronger today than it has ever been. We ought to thank God that our children are where they are. You say, Pastor, they're not where. If they're in church, they're where they need to be. And we'll let God make up the law. We ought to thank God every day for what he's done. But let me tell you, if you can thank God for the things you know, you best better thank God for the things you don't know that he did. Even when you woke up and you didn't know that the devil had a plan for your Monday, but somehow God made sure and orchestrated your escape before you ever knew you were in trouble. I thank God for what he's done, and I thank God for what I don't know that he's done. But every day of my life, we must thank God. Somebody say thank you. Somebody say gratitude. Amen. You may be seated. We're just talking. Thank you. My parents taught me to say thank you. I hear myself saying thank you even when I don't realize I'm saying thank you, because I've been trained to praise. That when something good, praise God, comes into my life, I say thank you. Understand this, every thank you I give to a person is really a thank you to God. God, thank you for using that person to speak into my life. Lord, thank you for using that person to deposit $100 into my life. Thank you, Lord, for using that boss to hire me. Lord, thank you. Remember, everything is a resource and God is our only source. So when we thank people, we are really thanking God for using that person. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness, there is no shadow of turning, there is no change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank God today not just for what he's done in my life, but I thank God that he's not like me. He's not moody, he's not up, he's not down. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means if I thank God on Monday, I should thank him on Tuesday because he's the same God. If I praised him at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, I'd have praised him on a Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Why? Because the God at 3 o'clock on Thursday is the same God at 9 o'clock on a Sunday. He never changes, and I thank him. My thankfulness and my praise and my gratitude, all synonymous, thanksgiving, praise, and gratitude. My gratitude is a gateway to greater. Write that down if you're taking notes. My gratitude is a gateway to greater. The more I thank God, the more he shows up. The more he shows up, the greater he becomes in my life. And when we start talking about greater, a bigger bank account should be the last thought on your mind. You should be thinking about all the spiritual things that God is doing for you. You ought to thank God for your family. You ought to thank God that you're not where you used to be. And so when I thank God, a gate opens up to greater, and my praise and my thank you leads to my breakthrough and leads to the next in my life. How many of you know the Word of God works? The Word of God works when you work it. So first we must read the Word. We must meditate on the Word so that we can know the Word. Because the only Word that works in your life is the Word you know. Not the Word you hear. Faith does come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, but it's not just enough to paste it on your Facebook wall. It's not just enough to hear a podcast every now and then and come in on Sunday for 30 minutes and hear the preacher preach. The Word of God and the only Word that works in your life is the Word that you know and the Word that you activate. How many of you know that the Word of God is so strong that even people, listen to what I'm about to say, even people that don't have a relationship with the author, which is Jesus, the principles of the Word still work. That's why you can see people that you know ain't living for God. But if they get the principles of the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you, how sad is it for you to know the Word of God, for you to know the principles of God, but to never know the author? Because the author is not only going to help me here on this earth, but the author is going to help me for eternity. And what a waste would it be for me to have 100 good years on earth and me not to make it to eternity. I'm here to tell you the Word of God works when you work it, but there are people that have tapped into the principles of God because it's so strong that the Word of God works no matter who it is. When they apply the Word of God and its principles, they work. 3 years ago, a 2004 study on gratitude, on praise, was done by psychotherapist Amy Morin and was published in Forbes magazine and was published by Forbes on their website. Ms. Morin states that gratitude, which we know as thanksgiving and praise, has 7 benefits scientifically. They followed hundreds of people around for a year that were gracious and ingracious, that had gratitude and lacked gratitude, that said thank you and did not say thank you, that withheld praise and that unleashed praise. 7 benefits, and I want to go through these very quickly. Number one, Ms. Morin states that gratitude opens the door to more relationships. That the more grateful you are and the more that you offer praise and thanksgiving. And now, of course, she's talking to people. But how many of you know the principle of praise is not an earthly principle? It's not a horizontal principle. It's a vertical principle. But what they found out is that gratitude opens the door to more relationships. So for all you single people out there, if you'll get grateful, you'll get married. How many married folk can just find some single person around you and just tell them, enjoy your season of singleness? I'm looking for some singles. Enjoy your season of singleness. And all the married people said amen. Oh, what it was like to only be responsible for myself. Oh, what it was like to not call Pastor Mandy and say, do you want anything from Whataburger? And her say, no, I'm fine. And then when I come home, her hands in the bag eating my French fries. I have no problem buying you your own French fries. I'm just not going to share my French fries. Every season of life has its benefits. And the study shows that the more grateful we are, the more it opens us up to relationships. Relationships, when they come from God, are going to bless you. They're not going to take from you. So if my praise opens up the door for more relationships and greater relationship, then any relationship that my praise brings is a good one. And any praise, any relationship that my praise makes run from me is a better one. You ought to just act a fool in church the first time you bring that boyfriend or girlfriend here. See how they react. If they move over two seats, he's not for you. She runs out the back door, she's not for you. But let's talk about our relationship with Jesus. Our thank you establishes a greater relationship with Jesus Christ. How many of you are still in love with Jesus? How many of you have not forgot the power of the cross? How many of you have not forgot the power of the blood? How many of you have not forgot that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, on your side, we'd still be stuck? And so my thank you causes my relationship with God to stay fresh, but to also grow. My relationship with Jesus is not based on infatuation. It's not based on what you can do. It's about growing old with a Savior and talking to Him and doing life with Jesus and asking Jesus what He thinks about this and asking Jesus, you think it's awesome to go home and talk to your spouse about his day or your day? I'm telling you, when you can get home and talk to Jesus about the day you've had and He can talk to you back, it's an amazing thing. Number two. Gratitude has been proven that it improves physical health. So by maintaining a thank you and retaining gratitude, you literally bottle up something that is not going to be good for your health. And it's so awesome when I read these secular studies by scientists who are trained and some of the most brilliant minds of our time. And here they are and they're preaching and they don't even know they're preaching. Because what Ms. Morin is saying is every time I say thank you, I get a little stronger. Every time I say thank you, the sickness that tried to attach itself, I thought I'd get a better amen right there. The sickness that tried to, I'm talking to somebody that you've had a bad report from the doctor in 2017, you are thankful. You are, your gratitude, your thanksgiving is what's going to usher in the greatest healing of your life. It's going to be what ushers in the greatest healing season that you've ever had. Just ask the 10th leper. The 10th leper said, thank you. You say, well, all 10 were healed. Yeah, they were healed, but only one was made whole. And the one that was made whole was the one that turned back and said, my mama taught me to never receive something and not say thank you. And so I've tracked you down, Jesus, to let you know, I thank you for meeting me. I thank you for finding me. I thank you for speaking into my life. I thank you for healing me. Somebody say thank you. Somebody say gratitude. Number three, gratitude improves psychological health. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, Your mental state, up one day and down the next, or sometimes you're up one day and down in the same day and up three more times and down four more times. Mood swings. Every little thing affects. Double-minded, unstable in all of our ways. You say, Pastor, that's what I'm dealing with. You're in good company because that's who Elijah was. That's who James was. James was bipolar. Elijah was so depressed that he was suicidal. His mental health was not there. I'm here to tell you there's a lot of people that are walking around as physical specimens, and physically you are fine, but mentally you are not okay. You lay awake at night with thoughts running through your head, thoughts of harm to yourself, thoughts of harm to somebody else, and it is a mental state. Now, what the secular world calls mental, we know that is a demonic oppression or depression or possession from the enemy. But the Bible says that when we think, God, when you look at the man at Gadara, what did he do? In his mental state of double-mindedness, in his bipolar state where he was ripping clothes off and cutting himself, that he began to worship God and he began to thank God. And when he began to thank and worship God, the evil spirit that tormented him, it had to go away. We can go back to the Old Testament when Saul, the king of Israel, was going through what he was going through, and he was having all of these thoughts and evil spirits would come to torment him. He would call in the praisers. He would call in somebody that had gratitude and knew what it was to thank God. I love Living Way because Living Way has a reputation. Living Way has a reputation of crazy praise. And a lot of times it is used in a mocking fashion. Oh, they're holy rollers, and oh, you better watch it. They're going to run you over, and they're going to flip, and they're going to roll in the floor, and all of that. And I take that as a badge of pride because that's how David danced. And if I want to praise like somebody, I'd rather praise like David instead of the one who mocked David, because the one who mocked David in the Word of God, remember, she was barren and never produced anything for the rest of her life. So I'm going to come down on David's side. But however, our reputation also says is that when you need a healing, when you need deliverance, when you need a move of God, other pastors have said, we don't believe that here. If you want that kind of move, you need to go down to Living Way Church. Why? Because they understand there's a power here that they have not yet tapped into. And your gratitude, you're thanking God, you're praising God, you're living a life of thanks is good for your mental health. The devil cannot stay in a life that of someone who praises God continually. Pastor, I don't know what's the problem. I come to church and everything seems fine, and by the time I get in my car and go over to Luby's or Outback, it seems like my life is the same. It is the same because you quit praising. See, the dangerous thing about a praising church is you live off our praise. I got a couple amens. Those are the real praisers. See, you come into this place that has been inhabited by God in the praises of his people, and you think that it's something to do with you. It's nothing to do with you unless you open up your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. And then you go get in your car where there is no praise. You go to Luby's where there is no praise. You go back home where there's a bunch of bickering and arguing, but there is no praise. I'm here to tell you, if you want the devil to stay away and you want God to stay, you've got to get an attitude of gratitude, of continual thanksgiving. Somebody say yes. Gratitude, number four, enhances empathy, she says, and reduces aggression. The Bible says you can be angry, but to sin not. Gratitude, empathy, and sympathy are an amazing thing. And the study shows that gratitude causes empathy, which means it causes us to think about people other than ourselves. See, when you say thank you, it's not about you anymore. It's about the God that has blessed you through some other resource, but is looking to someone else. Thank you. Someone opens the door. Thank you. Someone blesses your life. Thank you. Someone hurts you. Thank you. I learned something from that. Somebody walks out. Thank you. You're evidently not part of my plan. Thank you. Empathy. When you're angry, praise God. You say, Pastor, I get angry. I don't know if I can keep from sinning. It's impossible to sin and praise God at the same time. Praise him. Thank him. Thank you, Jesus. I can't believe she did that. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me peace. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me strength. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not acting like I used to act when these kind of things happen. Number five, grateful people sleep better. My grandpa told me one day, Bishop's father, told me one day we were out there working at the ranch. Bishop was out of town. Me and my brother were out there working. Man, Bishop worked as hard. Nobody worked as harder than Grandpa Fender. I mean, he worked us like we owed him something. And I remember having a conversation with him last night, with him one night or one day after a night where I didn't sleep very good. And he said, Brandon, he said, why are you moving so slow? I said, I'm tired. Why are you tired? I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. And this is, I've thought about this almost every day since he told me that, and that was probably 25 years ago. He said, the only people who have trouble sleeping are people that didn't work hard enough or people that ain't living right. And I'm going to tell you, one thing that I do really well is sleep. If y'all get, it's good that we come to a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, radical church, because if y'all get quiet enough for 20 seconds, I'll go to sleep while I'm preaching. I can lay right down there and be asleep in 60 minutes, 60 seconds flat. He said, you ain't working hard enough or you ain't living right. There is some merit to that. Because when you praise God, you are continually in the peaceful presence of the Lord. Insomnia robs you of productivity. It is sent by the enemy to cause you to be lethargic, to cause you to not be able to work through your issues, to cause you to have problems, to cause your moods to swing. But those of us that praise God, those of us that live a continual life of gratitude and thanksgiving when we lay our heads down at night, it's God, I lived a life that was holy and acceptable unto you, and for the next 5, 6, 7 hours, I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep with peace. I'm not going to have night terrors. I'm not going to have crazy dreams. And when my feet hit the floor at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be ready to take on the world for Jesus again. Why? Because I'm a praiser and my rest is in the Lord. I love what Bishop said. I think it was Bishop a couple services ago. If they would have listened to Jesus on the shore, they could have slept in the boat. There are so many Christians that are losing sleep, and maybe it's not a physical sleep. Maybe it is a spiritual rest. And see, you've got to learn to lean into God. You've got to learn when this life gets tough to rest in Him. And resting doesn't mean you're not doing anything. Resting is faith saying, God, I've done all that I can do, and now I'm going to lean into you, and you are going to do the impossible in my life. I'm talking to somebody that has been restless in their spirit. I'm talking to somebody that is fatigued in their spirit, and I want to encourage you the same way that Paul encouraged, do not become weary in well-doing. Take your rest in God. Your harvest, you will reap if you faint not. And we've got too many believers fainting off the course because they haven't gotten enough rest. Because they don't live a life of gratitude. It's impossible to be thankful and live a life of gratitude and praise and be tormented by all the things of this world that would rob you of rest. Number 6, gratitude improves self-esteem. Gratitude puts our eyes on Christ, which causes us to get a better self-view of who we are. If we think ill of ourselves, when we talk ill about ourselves, we are talking about a creation of God. We are talking about a creation that the Bible says we are made in the image of Jesus Christ. So when you have a poor self-view of you, what you're really saying is God's work is not perfect. That God made a mistake, and God never makes any mistake. You are beautifully and wonderfully and fearfully made of Jesus Christ. And the next time you look in the mirror and don't like what you see, I want you to break out the Word of God. Get in the Word of God and see what He says about you. I want you to go to the book of John and read John's testament of Jesus walking the hill of Golgotha to die, and understand there's 7.5 billion people on this world, but even if it had only been you, He still would have gone up that hill and hung on that cross for you. You've got to understand who Jesus is, and then you'll understand who you are. When you understand His purpose, you'll understand your purpose. And when you are thankful to God for everything, you'll never be allowed to look at yourself in a negative way. You'll always look at yourself with faith, saying, God, you don't make mistakes. I made a mistake, but I'm not a mistake. I might have fallen down, but a just man rises 7 times. Number 7, gratitude increases mental strength. Mental strength, when you start defining mental strength as Ms. Morin defines for us, mental strength is that thought of perseverance. That thought that you are unstoppable, that nothing can prevent you from doing what you set your mind on. That is what Miss Morin thinks. But I'm here to tell you, there is a courage that comes with thanking God. Because when God inhabits your praise and your gratitude, you stand a little taller and you square your shoulders a little more square. Why? Because the God of the universe has now stepped into your situation. You're not in a valley by yourself anymore, David. There's a God that has stepped toe-to-toe with Goliath. Samson, you're not fighting 1,000 Philistines on your own. Jehovah God has shown up to help you swing the jawbone of a donkey. You have to understand, when you thank God, God is forever with you. When you show gratitude, God is always there. When you offer God thanksgiving, He shows up before the last syllable is out of your word. And when God shows up, it should change something in your mind that when God shows up, there is nothing that I'm facing that can stop me. There is nothing that the doctor said is in my body that can stop me. Somebody say yes. Just give me 5 more minutes. Let's go to Psalm 100, verse 1. Understand this as we go there. Gratitude is not something we have, it's something we do. Too many times, Christians, believers, we talk about what we have and not what we do. Joy, yes, is something you have, but joy is something you express. Praise is something that you express. Faith is not something that you have. Faith is a living being. It's something that you activate. Psalm 100, verse 1 says, a psalm of praise, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that ye the Lord, He is your God. It is He that made us, and we not ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever to all generations. Verse 4 tells us how we're supposed to come to church on Sundays. Verses 1 through 3 tell us how we're supposed to live our life between Sundays. Let me say that again. Verse 4 tells us how we're actually supposed to come into the building called Living Way. But verses 1 through 3 tells us how we're supposed to live between Sundays. Verse 1 says this, a psalm of praise, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. In the first 4 verses of this psalm, there are 5 directives. In English, now because I'm an English teacher, because we homeschool our kids, when there is no subject in the sentence, the understood subject is what? You. So when the psalmist says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, what he's really saying is, Brandon, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, I went through all of that psychotherapist findings and the 7 reasons and benefits why we praise, and I wanted to lay all of that groundwork so we could talk about the spiritual significance of why we live with gratitude and thanksgiving. He says, Brandon, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That is why praise and thanksgiving is not what I have. Oh, I'm so thankful. Are you? Oh, I just live a life of thanksgiving. God's been so good to me. Well, you need to make a joyful noise. It's not enough for you to say you have thanksgiving. Actions speak louder than words. And there are buildings full of believers today. The same Jesus died for them on a cross. They received the same Jesus, and they would turn up their nose at our style of praise. But I'm here to tell you, after Miss Morin's findings, you better have an active Thanksgiving lifestyle, and not just something you say you have, but something that you do. And my Bible in verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I heard it today. One of the sisters over here, she was just screaming out to God. You say, man, that kind of affects me the wrong way. It ain't for you. That's okay. Well, it kind of annoys me. Well, guess what? Move over there then, because she's usually right here. I'm right here. It don't annoy me because I know it's not for Brandon. I know that she's doing something that verse 1 commands us to do. You make a joyful noise. Why am I making a joyful noise? So that my mental state stays strong. I'm making a joyful noise so my physical body stays strong. I'm making a joyful noise. Come on now, the 7 benefits. I got all these benefits running around in my mind, and so I'm going to live a life of gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise, and I'm not going to let somebody's thought of my style of praise deter me. Number 2, serve. Brandon, serve the Lord with gladness. Remember, this is before we come to church. Serve the Lord with gladness. Is that talking about me being in a ministry Living Way? It might, but it might not. This is before you get to the house. So my question is this. You come to church, great. You serve on the usher team, great. You sing in the choir, great. You do all of these things. You run a TV camera, great. How are you serving God between Sundays? Because he said, if you're really thankful to me, the first thing you do is you'll make a joyful noise. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. Most of us, we don't have a problem if we really praise making a joyful noise. Woo! I love Brother Jerome. I don't know where he's at. He's working somewhere. Brother Jerome praises right down here with me and Tyler. He stands next to us. Brother Jerome can sing, y'all. If he wasn't an usher, he'd be leading solos up here. I promise you. He can sing, y'all. But Brother Jerome stands next to us, and during praise and worship, he just goes, yeah, all right. I mean, I think he should go on the road with Lil Wayne and Lil John, be their hype man. Yeah. Say, what's all that about? It's his joyful expression. Make a joyful noise. We don't have a problem with that because we can do that in 2 seconds. Ow! Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But verse 2 comes along. Serve. But wait a minute. Serving takes time. I can't just wake up, brush my teeth, put on deodorant, and just serve and be done with it after a couple minutes. Serving happens with your life. Living a life of gratitude and thanksgiving. Living a life where when people say, you're always smiling, what's that about? I serve a great God. Let me tell you about the awesome God that I serve. Your testimony becomes your praise. You helping somebody walk across the street. You help somebody load groceries. You help somebody. God leads you to pay for their coffee at Starbucks. You're serving the Lord, because when they say, what's that about? I don't know you. I just wanted to be a blessing. Merry Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving. God loves you. God bless you. You don't have to invite him to Living Way to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord, somebody say, with gladness. Some of you thought it had an M there. It's not serve the Lord with madness. I know people like that too. Serve the Lord with gladness. Number 3, come before his presence with singing. Come before his presence. Remember, Sunday to Sunday, that's out there. How many of you were singing this week? And it wasn't a Beyonce song, or a Bieber song, or a Katy Perry song, which all 3 of those were raised in church, and now they're thinking other things instead of God. That's another sermon for another day. But how many of you have sung out there, singing his praises? You got your favorite worship team bumping in the car. That's great. Or perhaps you don't have any track going, and you're singing unto the Lord a new song. Sing, come before his presence with singing. I'm telling you what, if you come into Living Way and you're not ready to praise, you're wasting half of the praise service here, because we've got to get you in the mood. We got to prime the pump. We got to make sure. But when you come in that back door singing, when you come in that back door and you've been serving all week, when you come out in that back door and you've been making a joyful noise all week, you don't got to be primed. You don't got to be pumped up. You don't got to get in the mood. You are the mood, and you bring your praise in this place, and we need a people of God that will make a joyful noise, that will serve him outside with gratitude, and they come in the presence singing. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Number 4, know ye, verse 3, that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. There is a thankfulness in knowing who God is. It's not just enough to know him. This is for us believers that have been saved a long time. Throughout the Word of God, Paul cautions us, Jesus cautions us many times over in the New Testament, remember. Remember what God did. Remember what I did, Jesus said. Remember the bread. Remember the juice. Remember all of these things. And so the first thing you have to do is you have to know him. But the second thing you have to do is remember him. There's a lot of people that know him. That means they meet him, but they don't go home with him. When you got married to Jesus, it's for a lifetime. You're going to wake up talking to him. You're going to go to sleep talking to him. You're going to go out to dinner with him. You are going to do life with him, and you've got to know him. And finally, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. You cannot enter with thanksgiving unless you've made a joyful noise, served, come into his presence with singing, and remember who God is. And we have way too many people that Sunday is an event that stands alone all by itself, and it is not that way at all. Living Way is full of believers, full of gratitude and thanksgiving, that when you walk in the back door, we can tell you've been living this from Sunday to Sunday, that it's not a Sunday expression, it's a lifestyle expression, that your gratitude is moving you to greater, because it's not a Sunday greatness, it's an every day of my life I'm going to serve, I'm going to be what God has called me to be. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And I want to encourage somebody in here today to stand up on your feet and begin thanking God, not like it's a Thursday in November, but thanking God like you do every day of the week. I see you standing, but more importantly, God sees you standing. I hear you clapping and praising, but more importantly, God hears it. And it is your thanksgiving. It is your gratitude. It is your praise that's going to usher you into the greatest season of your life. Don't stop your praise when you leave Sunday morning service. Don't stop your praise when you leave the parking lot of this campus. Don't stop your praise when Thanksgiving is over. Every day of your life, make a joyful noise. Every day of your life, serve the Lord with gladness. Every day of your life, sing unto him a new song. Every day of your life, remember who he is, and the gratitude that you express to God will lead you to the greatest thing, season, people, prosperity that your life has ever seen. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. Verse 5, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever and lasts to all generations. The first three verses are about between Sundays. The fourth verse is about when we come into this house. The fifth verse is the benefits of those who thank God and have gratitude in their heart. Verse 5 says, I'm a good God, and my mercy endures forever. You know how his mercy and his goodness endures forever in my life? When I'm forever thankful, when I'm forever grateful. Every prayer that I pray, whether it's here at this church, private time, public places, I start with thankfulness. If I'm praying for somebody in the hospital, if I'm praying over my food, if I'm praying over a word I just meditated on, I start out saying, God, I thank you for all that you've done. I thank you for the blessings in my life. And then I proceed. Because I never want God to feel like I'm ungrateful. Because if God ever sees ungrateful, the windows of heaven close. Relationships wither. Opportunities dissolve. But when I'm thankful, every good and perfect gift is available to me and to you. I want to open this altar for those of you, not on Thanksgiving Eve, a Sunday Eve of Thanksgiving, but I want to talk to people that are ready to take their life to greater. And the avenue that we're going to use is gratefulness. I want you to leave your seat, and I want you to join me right here. You say, Pastor, what is this altar call for? This is just simply an altar call for people that want to move into greater, but you understand that gratitude, your thanksgiving, your praise is going to do that. I want you to meet me right here. Don't think about it. Don't contemplate it. I want you to just move and walk and join me right here. God bless you, sister. I appreciate that. One of our altar workers, or one of our greeters, I appreciate that. Sister Carol, come on. Children are coming. Thank you, my sister.